It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Kevin Brady, representing Texas, and great to see you again.
Tony, good to see you again. Hope things are going well.
Going great. Let's talk about your district for a minute, because you've seen kind of weather all over the place this year.
Yeah, we're in districts about 9.5 counties. We got one suburban county, about 1.5, then 8 rural counties. And we either have too much water or not enough, as you know. And we're also, because we're so diverse, we have a lot of ag issues. You know, they can be regulatory issues. They can be infrastructure issues. We've got trucking issues, you know what I mean, for our ags and that just don't work well when they're applied to our farming community. Of course, we got things like eminent domain and high-speed rail that, you know what I mean, all affect the ag community.
And you're really talking about things that farmers have no control over, whether it's the weather or regulations. One thing that they do have a little more control on is taxes. Last year we talked reform. 1 year later, how would you characterize?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really encouraged by the early signs. Look, it'll take maybe 7 or 8 years before we know the full impact of the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. But, boy, the early signals are all so positive. Our economy's growing about 50% faster than all the experts predicted. Our paychecks are growing for the first time in 10 years. Manufacturing jobs, which had been leaving at a clip of 20,000 a year, just even in 2016, now we've added 450,000 new manufacturing jobs. And for the first time, we've got a giant sucking sound back into the United States of jobs and dollars and companies. And so I'm really encouraged by that. I think it's especially important in the ag community because commodity prices have been just so brutal. You know what I mean? And it's been tough for everyone. And we wrote a lot of that tax reform bill to our ag community because we know those special challenges. We wanted to make sure we got it right for them, whether they're buying equipment or passing their family farm or ranch, you know, down to their kids and grandkids. Every dollar matters.
We talk about the ability to sell products, and you've got a trade agreement that is now here in the House, the USMCA. What can you tell?
Well, the ag community knows it's not enough to buy American. We need to sell American. We want to sell our produce, our goods, all of this around the country. Mexico and Canada are great customers for us, usually our two biggest. And so this new trade agreement, one of its biggest strengths is in the ag community. First, because it keeps our top priority, which is zero tariffs. You know what I mean? We didn't want to be taxed, you know, as we're selling our products to Mexico and Canada. But it makes some improvements, goes beyond there. So new dairy access, wine access, others to Canada, that's always been a challenge for us. We have some new market access for some other commodities as well. But there's some important things you don't normally think of in trade agreements. But we'll get, you know, a lot of countries block our products using the guise of food security. But it's really, they don't use science, they just block us. So this new trade agreement with Mexico and Canada makes sure that everything they do regulatory is science-based, that we have a say in, it's open and transparent, and they don't have conflicts of interest. Secondly, you know, when you're moving ag products, time matters. Delays will kill you, you know. So there's new provisions in there to streamline so we can move our products to Mexico and Canada faster. I think that's important. Then in ag, we have a lot of innovation going on. Biotech, you know what I mean, is really changing things, I think, many times for the better. And so this really protects the ag biotech that is birthed here in America, allows us to make those sales, those products in Mexico and Canada. So for the ag community, no agreement's perfect. But for the ag community, the new USMCA really has some really crucial provisions.
And if I recall right, Ways and Means is really the one who guides this.
Yeah, trade starts in the Ways and Means Committee, and so we're already, last month we began building support for the new trade agreement, first among Republicans, which have historically been free traders, understand we want to sell. We want to sell around the world, but among Democrats as well. We have a new chairman of the committee, Richie Neal from Massachusetts, and we are working with Democrats to try to build bipartisan support, which there ought to be. Both parties ought to be working together to get this agreement passed. And my point would be this year, because the longer we delay, you know, foreign countries, they get our market access, right? It's, you got to claw it back, and it's hard. So we'd rather have our farmers and ranchers and those products. We want first access, you know what I mean, to those customers.
So I'm just going to say one word here because I think you've opened the door for me to say China.
Yeah, so China's been cheating a long time. Costs us tens of thousands of jobs each year as a country. President Trump is the first president to take this thing on head on, to his credit. And he's insisting that they make real changes, that we have a fair trading relationship with China, because it hasn't been, isn't right now. So obviously tariffs are an area of concern because they have real impact on the economy and real impact to our sellers, ag sellers here. But at least in our district, our ag folks know, look, this isn't easy. It is having an impact, but we're sticking with the president to encourage him to get this done. Stay strong, make China change its ways. I think we're all hopeful that happens sooner rather than later, and I think there's a good chance it will.
I'm going to ask this one. I think it's a tough one. I would just phrase it maybe House of Cards. I've read that in a couple of different areas. National debt, $22.3 trillion. Is it really a house of cards?
Well, look, people who think deficits don't matter are wrong. They matter a lot, and the national debt is the thing that keeps me awake at night. The challenge here, Washington does not have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. Yes, we voted to rebuild our military for the first time in 15 years because we desperately need to. But there's too much, I think, unnecessary spending going on. And so we've got to get serious, both parties, on tackling these deficits. And the other thing we have to do, and this one we have to do together, Social Security, some of our most important programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, right now they're almost, gosh, two-thirds of the federal budget, just them, and growing, just growing so fast. But all of them are financially shaky. I mean, they're in trouble. So both parties are going to have to come together to solve and save Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid for the long term, but also to make some reforms so that every dollar is going to those who are eligible and the savings from that, you know, we can make sure our country doesn't go bankrupt.
I guess ideally you'd like to hit a home run and get it cleared up immediately, but maybe it's a single along the way, and that just leads into something else coming up, baseball.
Yeah, so look, the congressional baseball game has been, that was a good segue, Tony. That's been occurring on Capitol Hill since 1909. Republicans versus Democrats, baseball, not softball. We're tough guys. Baseball at National Stadium coming up in June. We raise almost $1 million for charity, like Boys and Girls Club and all that. I play second base and usually designated hitter for the Republicans. So we haven't been on a roll. We were a little like commodity prices, been a little low. So we're peaking for a win this year.
Good luck. Great to see you.
Thanks, Tony. Good to see you.
Again, it's Representative Kevin Brady on today's Agribusiness Report.